grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, fix in our minds and fix in our hearts the truth that you will come again in great glory, and that on that great day of judgment and reckoning where we will give an account for our lives, may our joy and our love for you be easily discernible through the way we live and use the resources for your church to build the kingdom. Resources that you first gave us, our time, our talents, our treasures. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I studied engineering at The Ohio State University in Columbus. The math and the sciences were not too difficult. Statics and strengths and dynamics, they were very interesting too. Differential equations, that was not fun. And then thermodynamics, that's very hard to pass without consistently doing homework. And that class changed my direction. I took the spring quarter off and thought about what was I going to do next. And I changed to industrial and systems engineering and began that fall working towards an industrial engineering degree. And I graduated with a degree in industrial and systems engineering in that horseshoe, along with several thousand other graduates. Now, my first professional position was working for Raytheon in Waltham, Massachusetts, in production support for the Trident Missile Guidance System. The responsibilities included creating build instructions from the blueprints and then supporting the assembly workers, answering all their various questions. It was very high-tech electronics, hand-soldered under 10-power microscope all the time. It was a very good job, and it had very good pay. And I remember my very first paycheck. It was more money than I had earned, more money in one check than I had earned all summer working other jobs. And from that first paycheck, I tithed. The largest gift I'd ever given to the church up to that time. It was an inner city church, University Lutheran at Harvard is where I was attending. And I remember, I struggled. That first check, that's a lot of money. I could buy this, and I could buy that, and I could buy. And that list of I coulds kept growing and growing and growing. But long before that first paycheck came, I had made up my mind. I would tithe to the Lord. And to this day, when I receive a paycheck, I tithe, along with giving more, because I want to give an offering too, a tithe and offering. I tell you, if I did not face those struggles and all that temptation and conquered that temptation with that first paycheck, you know, I don't think I would have ever overcome, because all those I could, they're pretty exciting. But by God's grace, I look for ways to be generous. As it's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, I found that to be very true, all that you need, you will abound in every good work. There's a difference between all that you need and all that you want. Wants, oftentimes, are not needs. And discern the difference. Give up your wants is a way to becoming that cheerful giver, growing in generosity. My family, My family has always been generous to ministry wherever we lived, helping in all aspects. That's the way I grew up. That's the way my parents discipled me. Mowing grass, building pews, painting, cleaning, designing a pipe organ installation. My dad did that. Building speaker cabinets. I helped my dad do that. Singing in the choirs, ringing handbells, attending potlucks and bringing stuff to potlucks, retreats, campings. If it was going on at church, the Lee family was there and involved. It was important to be there, important to be generous with time and our abilities too. My parents taught me and my siblings to use our skills, to use what we have, all our tools for ministry. That was my family growing up. I was discipled that way, and that's what we are teaching our children. That's what we're discipling our children as they grow up. Putting to work what the Master has given. That's my life. And that is a major part of today's parable. What the Master has entrusted to you, put to work for the Master. Don't hide it. Don't be afraid. Put it to work. Get involved. Get connected. Put it all in. For we don't know when the Master will return. The setting for Matthew chapter 25, the three parables, including the parables of the talents, is all the way back in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus was leaving the temple and he spoke to his disciples. Look at all these things, the buildings and all around you. Not one stone will be left. All will be thrown down. A little while later on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus then teaches about these things. That's Matthew chapter 24. He teaches about these things to come with the day and the hour unknown. Will be like the days of Noah. The people were eating and drinking, marrying, living like any other day. They knew nothing until the flood came. Two in a field, one taken, one left. Two grinding a handmill, one taken, one left. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Therefore, keep watch. Because you do not know at what day your Lord will come. And then Matthew chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. Those verses from Matthew chapter 24, the keep watch and be doing the work you're supposed to be doing, are the setting for the parables in Matthew chapter 25. And these parables build on these expressions of judgment, dividing into two groups. One will enter heaven, the other will be cast out, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The timing is not known, so be diligent at work, doing what you're supposed to do with the Master's possessions. Jesus tells the parable of the 10 virgins. Five are prepared with plenty of oil. Five are unprepared and have run out of oil. The wise with the oil are ready for the arrival of the bridegroom. The other five were foolish and missed out, and they were shut out. Keep watch. Be prepared, for you do not know the day or the hour. Then Jesus tells the parable of the talents. We'll come back to that parable in a moment. Then Matthew writes that Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep put to the right and the goats to the left. The sheep fed the hungry, gave drink to the thirsty, clothed the naked and so forth. In other words, the sheep lived out the commands of Jesus to love. The goats did not live out the commands of Jesus and did not have compassion and mercy. The goat's actions did not show a living faith in Jesus Christ. the goats went away to eternal punishment. The sheep, the ones who lived the faith, they're the righteous to enter eternal life. So between the sheep and the goats and the 10 virgins is the parable of the talents. But all three parables are tied together and taken in context of looking at the end times. All three look to Christ's return. All three carry a similar message of faith, judgment, accountability, distinguishing between and separating into two groups. Be ready for the master's coming. The parable of the talents. A master is going away to a far country and entrusts his property to his servants. Entrusted, it means to deliver to another. Something to keep, something to use, something to care for. It was implied, put this to work. That's what the master implied there in the parable. The master saying, put this to work while I'm gone. Whenever I rented a place to live in college, I always made sure I returned the place better than what I received. I always received all my rental security deposit back. I saw myself like a steward of the owner's property. So when I rented our house in Columbus, I thought others would treat that house accordingly. I was wrong. They were not good stewards of the house. And the damage they'd done was heartbreaking. Entrusted means to take care of and use. The master gave the first one 5 talents, the second one 2 talents, the third one 1 talent. And you notice he said, each according to his ability. Note that all three did not receive the same. Each received according to their ability, meaning their power, their skill, their nature, their character, according to how the master saw them. Giving all the same is like giving everyone a participation ribbon or a participation trophy. That is so common today, it drives me nuts. Remember the Kia commercial where the father takes off the word participation and then writes in champs because his son's football team won every single game. And did you hear the news story about the Steelers pro football player that returned his daughter's participation ribbon to the school teachers? If his daughter wants an award, she has to earn it. These parables speak volumes against the entitlement times we live in. What you do matters. And the outcome and what you receive is based on what you do. How you live your Christian faith in daily life matters. The one who is entrusted 5 talents worked and gained 5 more. The one entrusted 2 talents worked and gained 2 more. The one entrusted with 1 talent did nothing, no work, but buried it in the ground. His master's money, the opportunity given with the master's money was forsaken, ignored, dishonored. To the first 2 servants, the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Both servants put the master's money, master's possessions, to work. The third servant, the master had very different words. You wicked, lazy servant. How the servants treated the master's possessions shows the character and their heart. A faithful heart or a wicked heart. It's a character issue. Motivation of the heart. A talent is a huge sum of money. One talent is worth anywhere between 15 to 20 years of wages. So the one receiving 5 talents got more than a lifetime of wages. Many lifetime of wages given to him. The one with 2 talents, that's more than a lifetime of wages. You see, the implication is do something with this. It's an enormous amount of money. In the giving of the talents, the implication of Jesus' words is the master expected the servants to put the resources to work. And the master gave according to the servant's abilities. This is based on the expectation the servant would make more. Attitude. The first two. The master has entrusted me. I'm going to honor my master by doing my very best and return much, much more than I am given. The last servant. The master has entrusted me. There's no way I can please him. I'm just going to bury this and give it back. The third one did not have a heart with a desire to please the master, to honor the master, to do his very best. Instead, he had more of a heart to just get by, do just enough, return what was given, nothing more. The point here is put to work what the master has given you. Put to work to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God has given us so much. The Lord has given us such a wide variety of gifts. And the Lord expects us to put those abilities, the time, the talent, the treasure, to work in His service. I've worked many summers at summer camp. And through the years, I've met many counselors that have come from other countries, international counselors from various parts of the world, from Europe down to New Zealand and Austria, even to South America and other parts of Africa too. All different parts of the world, I've met them and worked with them. And each one was special. In the summer of 91 at Luther Memorial Camp, an international counselor came from Ethiopia. And he was a very special man. Faith. Christian faith was just exuding from him. And he was hilarious, too. On his first outpost, he built one of the hugest fires ever built on outpost. I mean, the flames were just reaching to the sky, it seemed. Why did you build such a large fire, Lawrence? To keep the wild animals away. That's what we do at home. Well, raccoons and skunks are what we have here. Well, he had lions and tigers, you know. And so it was just the difference. One weekend, he came home with me and another friend as we went to her house. And he had just a great time. And on Saturday, Lawrence needed to go to the store to buy a new camera. His camera he brought with him broke. And he wanted to be able to share his story of the summer with us in pictures when he went back home. So we took him to nearby Kmart to buy the camera. And he had only enough money to buy the camera, so I bought the batteries and the film for him. And when we returned to the car in the parking lot, the first thing Lawrence did was took the camera out of the package, very solemnly, in a very prayerful way, held the camera in his hands and said, "I dedicate this camera to you, my Lord Jesus." Then he said a prayer. His heart was expressed, and I was stunned, along with my friend. We had never seen such an action like this. But isn't that what Christian faith really is? I dedicate this to you, my Lord Jesus. This is exactly as it is to be for us, you and me. Everything we have is to be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. to be put for use in increasing the church of Jesus Christ, sharing the message of the redeeming power of the cross of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the hope to the hurting, forgiveness to the fallen, love to the unloved. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is betrayed. So Matthew chapters 24 and 25, Jesus is giving his final words, and they're words of warning, expressions of his holiness and his compassion. Giving words of hope, even though he will be departing, he will be coming back. And in the time in between, be watchful and put to work all you are and all you have for him. The Lord Jesus Christ has delegated to us the responsibility of building his kingdom. He has given us all the resources we need. He has given us the Holy Spirit. And he will give us all we need to do ministry. And he gives through you and me. We have what we need to do ministry. We are the hands and the feet. We are the smiles, the hugs of compassion, and the love made visible for others to see. Do you love your Lord Jesus Christ? Is the question. Do you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Is the question. Show it by putting to work all you have to share his love with others through the church, through your own life. I dedicate this to my Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us such a wide variety of gifts. He's given each person a variety of gifts. And he expects us to employ those gifts in his service, not out of compulsion, but out of reverence, out of worship, out of love for our Lord. The Lord has given me this. He has entrusted me. I'm going to work for my master. It means to start seeing all you have in a new way. How can this be used to grow the kingdom of Jesus Christ? I can bake a casserole for IHN. I can sew a quilt for day camp. I can sing in the choir. I can play my flute. I can play my guitar. Even though I'm learning, I'm going to play my guitar and worship. I can fold bulletins. I can gather newsletters. I can visit the homebound. I can invite those who don't go to church, who don't know Jesus. I can use my car to drive people places. You know, I don't need that expensive thing because the church over there needs. I dedicate this to my Lord Jesus Christ. I work for the Master. Start seeing your life, all of your life, in that way. How can this be used to grow the kingdom of Jesus Christ? I have a hammer. I can build a house. How can this spread the redeeming message of Jesus dying on the cross for sins? You know, that person hurt me. I need to forgive them, so they can know Jesus died for their sins too. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we all want to hear, isn't it? When that day comes, well done, good and faithful. Well, put everything you have to service of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to your ability, out of honor, reverence, worship, and love. See yourself as a steward of God's riches. God's riches. God's riches. See yourself as a steward. And all of your life belonging to Him, because He gave His life for you to live and be forgiven and be with Him. So, be a good and faithful servant. I know you can do it. Give it all to the Lord and see what He will do through us in the community and in the world. We want to hear that. So see yourself as a steward of God's riches. Amen and amen.